Hey, it's Mirazza. Happy Friday, a Target demo Friday. Plus, the Nuggets take a 2-0 massive lead on the Lakers. It's the best of the DA show now.
Last night, game two in Denver. Another victory by the Nuggets. Tight affair throughout, but Jamal Murray in the fourth quarter was excellent. Nearly flawless, and helps elevate the Nuggets to a Game 2 victory. They've taken the first two games of the series. These are some spicy Nuggets. Too much for the Lakers. It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Five on the clock to Jokic. Back to Murray. Murray goes to the right hand. He gets jumped by LeBron. Takes a three. That one's good! Nuggets up by nine! Jamal Murray left for the dead in the first half.
He was frustrated because he wasn't making shots that he's accustomed to making. And I said, don't allow your offense to dictate your game. You know, find a way to get your defense into the game and then build off of that. And obviously for him to go out there and get 37, 10 and 5 and score 23 in the fourth quarter was just a tremendous boost for us.
Lakers inbound over to LeBron. Here comes the freight train across the timeline. Picked his pocket clean. Did Bruce Brown. And Denver's going to win game number two. There's the horn. Denver takes a commanding 2-0 lead in the Western Conference Finals.
What do you take out of it is the fact that this is not the NCAA tournament. It's the first team to four wins. And we have an opportunity to go home and play great basketball and home serve. You know, until the team beats you four times, then you always have an opportunity to come out of it.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That was Nuggets Radio on the call. 108-103, Jamal Murray, 37 points last night. And I said this before, I think the Nuggets are great for NBA fans. They play a fun style of basketball. Jokic is a generational type player. Nobody's ever played like him. So you're seeing something totally unique to the history of the NBA every time you watch them. But also, the way they assembled this team is not something that you can't envision your own team doing. They found Jokic in the second round, and Jamal Murray was the eighth pick overall. That's not insane to collect those two guys. If you have a top 10 pick and then a second rounder, you can do this. Now, of course, you've got to nail them, and both those guys were clearly undervalued when they were drafted. But Jamal Murray's turned into such a valuable scorer and such an important running mate for Jokic, because the last 2 years, Jokic has been an MVP. The last two seasons, Jokic has won the Most Valuable Player Award, but they didn't get through the second round of the playoffs. They were not nearly as dangerous as they were in 2020, when really this thing coalesced. They went to the Western Conference Finals in the bubble against the Lakers. And now this year, when they're the one seed, the best record of the NBA, all because Jamal Murray is healthy again. Like I said, Jokic has been doing this type of thing for the last couple of years. But the difference this season is that he's got a running mate that can score in bunches and explode in fourth quarters and is elite from the outside. When he gets cooking, he's hard to slow down in Jamal Murray. And that's the perfect second scorer. It's the perfect second piece of the puzzle for a team vying for a championship. So what a performance by Murray when it mattered most last night. And I think if you're the Lakers, you walk out of these two games disappointed that you didn't get one of the two. I think you're disappointed because there were pivot points in both games that could have went the Lakers' way and didn't. They closed game one to within 3 points. And last night it was really nip and tuck throughout the entire game until the fourth quarter when Murray went off. So you're disappointed that you didn't get one of the first two because you could have, but you know that you've been able to play with the Nuggets when it's come down to it. I think the issue is if you're the Lakers and you turn around after last night, you wonder what it would have looked like if Anthony Davis had actually hit some of those shots. And I know that AD has a reputation now for not showing up specifically in even games. So he shows up for the opener, then goes to sleep, then shows up in game three, then goes to sleep, then shows up in game five. You get the bit. I don't know if I would say that last night he didn't show up. I thought that the energy level was there, the activity level was there, but the shots didn't fall. He hit just 4 of 15 last night. If AD shoots 8 of 15, that could be a Lakers win. Hell, if he shoots 6 of 15, that could have been a Lakers win. So I know that today you're going to look at the box score. I'm sure that people today are going to rip AD because, again, it's an even game where the Lakers lose, and it's going to be, see, here we go again. But I'm not so certain that I would put this in the same category as previous ones where he was MIA. I think Davis can be much better than that last night, and that's what the Lakers have to hope for, that going back to L.A., really both AD and LeBron are a little bit better because LeBron didn't have a great night last night either. Had just 22 points of the night. Had the breakaway dunk that he fumbles out of bounds. Again, is that going to make a difference in the game? They lose by 5. That was 2 points. Who knows? But LeBron wasn't quite on his dominant self either. So I would expect a much better, full, fleshed, well-rounded effort out of the Lakers in Game 3. They go back home. They played very well at home in L.A., I think you'll get a better Lakers team in Game 3, but what happens with losing the first two is now you have to get both. There is no room for error because you can't go down 3-1. And I know that LeBron has come back from down 3-1. That was the 2016 NBA Finals, famously against the Warriors. But this Lakers team is an older Lakers team. It takes more for LeBron to click it into that next gear. And you're chasing a squad of the Nuggets that, you know, you have to go play at altitude in Game 5 and Game 7. So you got to take the next two. I don't think the Lakers are out of this. I don't think the season's over. I don't think the series is over. But the Lakers have to now take both games. And so I know that they're not, quote, must wins technically until, you know, you're down to your final gasp. But as we like to say around here, they're got to have it game. Game 3 and Game 4, you got. They might not be must-win, but they're got to have it games. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. Last night of the Stanley Cup Eastern Conference Finals, Carolina and Florida finish regulation 1-1. They go to overtime. Sorry, 2-2. In overtime, nothing through the first overtime. Second overtime, nothing through the second overtime. Third overtime, nothing through the third overtime. Which brings us to 4 OTs. 4 of them. And the time is ticking down on the 4th overtime. Now think about this. An NHL game is 3 periods long. In the playoffs, there is no shootout. There's no overtime win. There is just win or lose. We have played twice as much time as regulation. And now we're into the 4th OT. And this is how it ended.
And now Ekblad will take over in the neutral zone as the Hurricanes couldn't advance it. Ekblad dumps it in down to our right. Here's Brent Burns, keeps it to the outside. Sam Bennett keeps it in out front. Tkachuk is shot. He scores! He scores! Matthew Tkachuk, the overtime winner! The Panthers take game 1-3-2, the final! Matthew Tkachuk ends the marathon, and the Panthers go home happy tonight here in Raleigh.
That's Florida Panthers Radio. Your 4th overtime ending, man, Tkachuk. with 19:47 into the fourth overtime, which means they were 13 seconds away from a fifth overtime. I don't have the stats in front of me, but Mraz, this has to be one of the longest playoff games ever, correct?
I believe the official count was this is the sixth longest game ever. We had a couple sixes and two fives, I believe, were the case. I saw this on my ride in this morning. I was at a three last year.
You were at a three?
The first Ranger-Penguin game last year went three overtimes, and that was the game I told you people actually started smoking cigarettes because they sent employees home and anything went in the arena.
Yeah. Four overtimes last night. Almost four full overtimes last night. So Florida gets game number one.
And it was the sixth.
It was the sixth longest hockey game ever.
Yes.
And it's not like in the playoffs they have a shortened overtime period. It is full 20-minute period. So you play 20-20-20 regulation, then last night 20-20-20, and then nearly another 20.
Yes.
In game one, how can these guys have legs the rest of the series?
Right, and they got to come back out on Saturday night. That's why losing a game like that when it gets so long is brutal. Brutal, could put you behind the eight ball. The longest game, by the way, 1936, the Red Wings beat the Montreal Maroons. Everybody remembers this game greatly. 1-0 in a sixth overtime on Mud Brutino's goal at 160 minutes, 30 seconds of play.
Crunch time, especially in the playoffs, Mud Brutinhose was always an absolute sniper.
Absolutely. Great Red Wing.
You just knew clutch time, especially in the 30s, how that was defined, was Mud Brutinhose time.
Yeah, he got dirty.
Real dirty. So you're telling me that game two is S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y night. S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y night.
S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y night. S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y night. S-S-S-Saturday night. S-S-S-Saturday night. Gonna keep on dancing to the net and goal on Saturday night. Saturday night. Dancing to the rhythm in our net and goal on Saturday night. Saturday night. Saturday night. Saturday night. Saturday night. Saturday night.
Somehow that's getting worse. Somehow that...
Oh, I disagree.
Somehow your voice is getting worse in that.
I firmly disagree. Every time I hear that, I start to think more and more I could have been a Bay City Roller.
Game two.
Maybe not.
Game two. Saturday night.
Don't encourage him. Don't encourage him anymore. The kid in Twin Falls doesn't want to hear this.
Florida gets game one, and the Panthers were the last team in the NHL playoffs to qualify, and now they get game one in a marathon fashion of the Eastern Conference Final.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
You can always watch the show. Check out the simulcast on YouTube, either on your laptop, desktop, phone, on the app. You can also watch us on Twitch and at watchda.com. Just check out the CBS Sports Radio channel on those platforms and you can watch us every single morning. We begin with Kenny Smith from the NBA on TNT. He was on SiriusXM. Smith and the Rockets won the 1994 NBA Finals over the New York Knicks in seven games. That was the year that the finals were interrupted as the OJ White Bronco chase was happening simultaneously. Here's Kenny.
I don't know if you've ever been like to the NBA playoffs or finals, the finals for sure. On the stanchions, where the courtside seats are, all the TVs would be there as well. So when we called the timeout, most of the players you see now, even they sit on the top of the stanchion.
Sure.
And I look back, and I'm like, I see OJ running. I see the Bronco chase, and I'm like, OJ Simpson on the run. And so I'm looking in the huddle. I say, oh my God, OJ's on the run. In the middle of the huddle of the NBA Finals. That's when I scream out. I said, oh my God, OJ's on the run. And so Rudy Tomjanovich, who was coaching at the time, goes, what are you talking about? Everybody's like, what? He's on the run. He's on the run. They're like, hey, what are you doing? Let's get the ball inside to Akeem and make sure that we got stocks on the perimeter. So everybody's like getting focused. And so we're going back out. He pulls me back and he said, Kenny, is he really on the run?
Sorry, he really wanted to know if OJ was on the loose.
It was one of those moments that did feel even bigger than the NBA Finals. And that was a finals that had a lot of drama in it. It would go seven games, but also that the Knicks had been without a championship since the 70s. The Rockets had never won a championship before. It was Ewing versus Olajuwon. It felt like it was so huge. And yet the OJ chase for that day, for that night, did overwhelm it. And if you watch that documentary about that singular day, that 30 for 30, it's a great documentation and exploration of everything chaotic that happened that day. But it's a little hard to explain to somebody that didn't see it why it felt so ridiculous, how it felt so cataclysmic. Because today we only know OJ as a complete joke. OJ today is a complete farce. He goes on social media. He looks like an idiot. He says dopey things. He's a punchline. Everybody knows this. At the time in 1994, he was an A-list celebrity. If he wasn't A-list, he was B-list. OJ, who would be the athletic equivalent today? A retired player, handsome, good-looking. Everybody loved him. He was on national TV all the time. He was a reporter. He was doing sideline for Monday Night Football. He was in the Naked Gun. I mean, what is the comp to OJ today?
I was going to say Shaq.
Huh.
Not the greatest player of all time.
But one of the greatest.
One of the greatest in movies, in TV. And is constantly part of broadcasting, you know, obviously the NBA and TNT crew.
Not bad. The only difference would be that Shaq does play the fool quite a bit. Shaqed in the fool. You know, he likes to joke around. He likes to be a comedian. And he likes to, he doesn't mind having people poke fun at him. OJ was a little above the fray, though. OJ wasn't a clown. OJ was like Hollywood royalty in some way.
Somebody mentioned Strahan.
Strahan's a good one. That's a great one. So imagine during the NBA Finals, Michael Strahan was accused of double homicide and was in a Bronco or a Jeep or an SUV being chased by the cops at a low speed throughout the entire night. And it was broadcast on every network. Be like, what is Strahan doing? Why is he being chased? If he's innocent, why is he running away? And he's being driven by Kerry Collins?
Jesse Armstead? Buddy.
Yeah, Jesse Armstead is driving Strahan in a white SUV through the freeways of LA being chased by a team of 20 cop cars, and we're wondering whether Strahan's going to commit suicide on national TV or like drive to Mexico. It was so insane. And it is one of those events where it's impossible to know what social media and the modern media would have done with that. Because at the time in 94, it is happening and NBC has to make a decision. CBS is carrying the Bronco chase and ABC is carrying the OJ chase and Fox is carrying the OJ chase. I assume Fox at the time, there was a very young network, but NBC has to go, well, we've got the finals on. What do we do? And so they went split screen. They would jump back and forth. And people that were really into Knicks and Rockets were like, I don't want to see the OJ chase. Well, I kind of want to see the OJ chase, but I want to see basketball. And you couldn't flip over to your smart TV. You couldn't scroll on Twitter. You couldn't be on your phone and watch a second screen. Whatever NBC was putting out there, you had to watch. And so you were kind of caught hostage by what's more important here, that OJ is running from the cops and being accused of double murder or the NBA Finals game. So I understand what Kenny Smith is saying there. It was the one event that did seem to feel almost bigger than a huge NBA Finals that already felt like an enormous tilt. Here's Paul Bissonnette on the NHL on TNT last night. Panthers Hurricanes went four overtime before the third OT, here's Biss.
What is possibly being said at this point?
Nothing. They're looking at each other and they're saying, could someone please just put the puck in the goddamn net?
And the rest of the guys are like, oh.
Look out. Gretzky got real grumpy on the set apparently late last night too.
That's what I heard. That's what I read. That everybody was pointing out that Gretzky did not want to be there.
No, he wanted to put on his flannel PJs and the socks and go to bed.
I don't think Gretz necessarily wants to be there anyway, even on a regular
right,
night.
Right.
But having to work twice as long, I mean, that's like we get off the air at 10 after doing a four-hour shift. And at 10 a.m., they're like, oops, sorry, Bill Ryder's not showing up today.
Okay.
So then we got to do the next 2 hours. They're scrambling. And they're saying that if we can just get a hold of Shep, don't worry, you guys can go home. So they call Shep, they text Shep, nothing through the first segment. All right, second segment. Now we're through the first hour, okay? They're like, we're getting nothing on Shep, but if we can get Carlos with a K, you guys can go home. All right, first segment of the hour number two, second segment. Now we're through 2 hours. They're like, we're getting nothing there either. We're going to try EJ. If we can get EJ, you guys can go home, and we keep doing this. And so that's what these guys on set were doing. Like, in hockey, there's no way to know how long it's going to go. It is possible it could have gone. Look, we were 13 seconds away from a fifth overtime, yeah. Which means, was it 15 minutes in between overtimes?
Yes.
So another 15, and then who knows? The fifth overtime takes another 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah, and then maybe you're sitting with your dad and you have to explain to him how he has to get home because apparently at 60, he can't figure out how to take a train. It's a tough spot to be in.
You went to a Rangers playoff game last year against the Penguins, and it went three overtimes, and Bob the Deli Man was freaking out.
Well, because it was getting to the point you had to wonder about a fourth overtime, and we were not going to leave, and the train schedule was going to get dicey to the point where I would not be able to get home and get back in time to do the show. So, of which I alerted him, he's going to have to go home on his own. I'm going to go sleep at the office for an hour and then wake up and just be at work in my dirty, disgusting Rangers clothes, which I would come to anyway. But nonetheless, and his quote to me was, how am I going to get home? Mm. I said, well, the train that we got here on, the same train you taught me how to take when we went to games my whole life, that's how you're going to get home. I don't know how to do that.
That's ultimate hard hat guy, by the way, going straight from triple overtime loss, couch at the radio station, crusty jersey. That's respect right there.
He didn't do that, though.
Well, I would have done it if it went the fourth overtime. I would have had no choice. But, yeah, how did we get? What do you mean? You taught me my whole life how to take the train. Get on it.
They still take tokens?
What level? Now, Gretzky was the ultimate playoff, you know, clutch guy. He loved playoff games. He loved showing up for big moments. That's why Gretzky's the great one. But how if his compete level was at 10 when he was playing for playoff games, what's his compete level at as an analyst for playoff
games. 1.5
It's 1.5 and then by the third overtime, it's a half.
Yeah, exactly. Because everybody else there is giving you way more insight. He's just there for that staying power. What's Gretz got to say? Nothing. He wants to go to bed.
He's sitting there. He's probably saying, you know, my number's retired across the league.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here
with
these guys watching other people play.
Watching Panthers Hurricanes into fourth overtime.
Not even my old Oilers in the
Panthers Hurricanes. He's watching a game in Raleigh into the fourth overtime on a Thursday night, and Gretz goes, how did my life get to this? Why did I say yes?
The lengths he will go to get out of the house and away from his wife is just exemplary.
Yeah. I've heard that Gretz is a great guy to go out with.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've heard
that's
that.
That's cool.
I've heard that Gretz around an open bar is elite.
Oh, I like that.
Is elite, which is, to your point, I think he just wanted to get out of the house. That's why he took this job.
Yeah.
Finally, here's Shep, speaking of, talking to JR last night of the JR Sport Brief with maybe a little fake out, little head fake on last night's Stanley Cup Eastern Conference Final.
Hey, Shep, what say you? Somebody's going to finish this off in this overtime, right?
Oh, my God, the game just ended. I'm kidding. It's still 2-2. It's probably going to be over by this overtime. I'm with Marco on this. Definitely before the end of your show.
Yeah, it'll be the third. Hey, Shep, that was a terrible, terrible joke.
No, but it wasn't, because you're always either ahead of me or we're ahead of you.
No.
Hey, 30 seconds.
No, that's not.
Seriously, I thought you had me because that slap shot almost went in. So I thought you had me.
Yeah.
That wasn't that bad.
Irrelevant of timing, you understand that I read nothing into what you said.
Man, you're tough on my jokes sometimes, JR.
Because the jokes suck.
Got it.
Wait a second. Does the JR Sport Brief need Morty D'Souza to show up?
Hey, Shep, what say you? Somebody's going to finish this off in this overtime, right?
Oh, my God, the game just ended. I'm kidding. It's still 2-2. It's probably going to be over.
Can Morty work a double and do the night show into the morning show? He's already sleeping on the job with us.
Yeah, is Morty a hard hat guy? I don't know.
No.
How about Shep responding? Got it. At the end.
Does the joke suck?
Got it.
JR rules with an iron fist. Hey, Shep. Man, that joke sucked. Got it?
Because the joke sucked.
Got it. Here's some.
And I think you suck, too.
You suck, Shep. Again, though, we found a problem with I think we've been down this road on the air with Shep and the jokes, though. Commit. He gives it up so quickly.
Yeah, he laid out very
His
quickly.
His timing is terrible. Now, you don't want the audience thinking the game is over. I get it, but. Oh, wow. Yeah, the game's over. No, just kidding. Like, you got to give it like 2-3 seconds. He has no comedic beat.
But then when he says got it after JR rips him, his timing's actually perfect and it's completely unintentional.
Because the joke sucked.
Got it. like that is.
That's the punchiness we need.
That's comedy.
He's used to that. He's used to people criticizing his jokes.
Shit, that joke sucked. And I want to punch you right in the face, right?
Got it.
And the only reason I'm not punching in the face is because I don't want you to call out and Jack be here.
Got it.
I love JR and Shep. I think they're amazing. I really do. I think they're absolutely an amazing duo. We're lucky to have them. That's good stuff right there. That's the type of stuff that I would lock in for and just be like, yeah, this is my favorite show.
I'll admit something as somebody that listens to this program when I'm not working it. Mm-hmm. I don't look for every sound check with some of our friends of the program here. Like if there's a Schwartz or Stern sound check moment, I don't seek those out all the time. But anything with Shep and JR, I have to listen to it.
I know, it's so good.
It's perfect.
It's just so good. The chemistry is just impeccable, and they didn't know one another before they started working together.
Right.
So they've just developed this by working together on air, and they're great.
Have they ever met in person? Has JR ever been up here since Shep became the producer?
Yes, they have met.
That would be one of the great did you knows. Did you know the best radio team in the country has never met one another?
It's like an episode of Love is Blind, right? showing opposite walls, never seeing each other.
Because JR is based in Atlanta.
Yes.
And Shep is based up in New York with us.
But so. Shep's made, JR's made a couple trips up here, yeah.
Nice.
And then anytime JR is on the road for like a big remote, they make sure to keep Shep here. We can't have him representing the company out in convention centers.
Shep needs to go to Atlanta. I think he'd be a big hit down there.
I could see that. I could see that.
He would definitely.
Because he could play Southern Gentleman.
Yeah.
We'd also find him, if Ernie Johnson had the cold, filling in on the NBA on TNT crew from Atlanta.
Love it.
We'd be sitting there going, wait a minute, how did Shep parlay into this show?
I love it. I think you're right. I think he would be a big hit as a Southern Gentleman.
Yeah. Derby day, all day, every day with Shep.
That voice you hear is Greg Caserta. He's in for Andrew Bogus today. Mr. Caserta, good morning.
Good morning, DA. And I'm a little disappointed that Bogues isn't here because I thought that he'd be sliding into the co-host chair.
Mm.
So it's good to see you. But Bogues and I were supposed to celebrate today. Dave Matthews Band released its first studio album in 5 years today.
Is that so?
It sure is.
Do all 12 songs sound exactly the same?
They do, yeah.
Do they sound like other songs that Dave has
Yeah, there
recorded?
Might be a few in the catalog that there's some parallels. Yeah, I think if you hear it, you go, I know who that is.
The DA Show is available on your phone. Use the free Odyssey app or the free CBS Sports app. Stream the show for free. In fact, to the Odyssey app, you can get live radio and pause it, fast forward, rewind. Pretty good stuff. Plus podcasts of the show and One Giant Step, a New York accent as well. Our podcasts all inside the Odyssey family, all on the free Odyssey app. Also, you can listen to us, as I said, using the free CBS Sports app. Just some guy tweets, can we stop giving DA control of the drops? Every morning he beats something so badly to death that I need to turn the show off until about 8 a.m. or so. Hashtag Roopie Roop, hashtag Saturday night. I take offense to that. Not because you think I would beat a drop to death, because I absolutely would. I take offense to that because you don't realize that Pete is the maestro of the drops. Here's the way this thing goes. I have 50 hot keys in front of me. They range from the zap to an old man saying, okay.
Okay.
I have an itchy nipple chub rub.
Itchy nipple chub rub.
And an old man saying, okay.
Oh, okay.
I have 50 of these in front of me. And that's about it. And they are archived, old school, change very rarely drops. Many of these are the same drops that I've had in this box since we launched in 2013.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
That drop is from Painkiller Pat, and that was from 2013. Those 50 drops I have at my disposal don't really rotate much. When you hear a song that Mraz sings on Canadian Bacon, something that just happened on the show today, last week, recently, when we play extended clips and loop them over and over and over again.
Here I go, here I go, here I go again. Girls, what's my weakness? Goals!
And specifically, when you hear Canadian Bacon, bad jokes and bad puns pounded into the ground.
The Wild were John Klingenberg to life.
That's the magic of Pete's fingers, okay? And so just some guy... I'm offended that you don't realize the magic of the audio on this show is Pete.
Gudekins.
Whether it's elbowing Morty D'Souza to get that tuba going.
It's not funny.
Or it's playing Mraz's Saturday Night over and over and over again. That's Pete's magic. So put some respect on that. Put some respect on the audio director.
Akira, Akira, I never really knew that you could play like this. Hey.
Hey.
Chicken
nuggets.
Hey.
What is that? Is that fastball coming?
What is that? Is that fastball coming?
Mraz actually doing a pretty good Cookie Monster there.
Not unintentionally, but not bad.
Brian tweets, DA, I can't believe you guys stayed in the Tenderloin District in San Francisco. That's one of the three worst neighborhoods for crime in the Bay Area. Yep, wish somebody would have told me. See, here's how that goes. I say, bosses, can we go to Radio Row? They say, sure. Find your own accommodations. I go, okay. How about the media hotel? They go, too expensive. And I go, okay. How about an Airbnb? They go, that's fine. So then it's up to my own devices to find an Airbnb, one that fits the budget, has two of us for me and Mraz, and hopefully has a little bit of space so that I don't smell him constantly for the week.
Calm down.
And when I search through my Airbnb reviews, I look for owners that have good reviews, obviously, and I also look for proximity to Radio Row, how we would get there to and from. And when I see a nice two-bedroom, two-bathroom loft in downtown San Francisco, which is relatively close to the Civic Center, so we can get over to Radio Row quickly in the middle of the night because, well, at that point, we were doing mid-mornings. Oh, no, we were doing evenings.
Right.
So we had to get there in the afternoon, basically, Pacific time. Where I picked actually seemed like a very strategically sound decision. What I didn't know was that that area was riddled with drugs. That's what I didn't know. What I didn't know was that at the corner of our block was human defecation on the sidewalk and somebody doing, I think, heroin in the middle of the day. That's what I didn't know.
There was a man with a needle stuck in his neck.
That's what I didn't know.
Yeah. We did play a fun game, though, looking down at the street, human or dog, as far as the defecation.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
What do you think? And you know what? Unsurprisingly, it's pretty easy to decipher. You know... Even if you don't have a dog, you know
what mega poundage.
You know what human looks like. You know what animal looks like.
Yeah, it didn't have staying power the way the license plate game has on a highway, but it was fun to play for a
it's
walk.
It's not quite 100 bottles of beer on the wall, but let me tell you, kids, if you head over to San Francisco, or you in any neighborhood that might occur, it's not a bad game.
And knowing all that, download the DA Travel Guide for Bob's Bar.
Oh, good point, Pete. Beautiful, beautiful segue, my friend. If you are deciding to head out to Bob's Bar on Friday, June the 16th, for the third annual Bob's Bar show, there is a travel guide whipped up by yours truly, who's got two thumbs and wrote the travel guide, this guy right here. So check it out. We've tweeted this out. We've also put it on Instagram. Also put it on Facebook as well. Or you can go to my website, DamonAmendolara.com. And your FAQ, as Mraz might say, facts and questions.
What is it again?
Frequently asked questions. That is all part of your one sheet, and it is part of your FAQ heading into the Bob's Bar show. Now, suddenly, the TV just popped on audio-wise here, so we are hearing the NBA TV rebroadcast of last night's Game 2 Western Conference Finals. Why? Who knows? Now we're good, though. Greg Caserta was there last year. He was a huge hit amongst the D'Aliens and friends and family of the Mrazes.
Bob's Bar.
Yeah, did I not say that?
Yeah, I still had my mind on
San
Francisco.
I'm transitioning over to the Bob's Bar show.
Yeah.
Caserta, will you be able to make this year's Bob's Bar show?
I will be there.
Wow.
I'm not going to be there like I was last year. Mm. Like, I'm probably going to be working that night.
You won't be whipping the crowd into a frenzy on Bob's Bar after every goal.
I will be eating the way I did last year. I will not be drinking the way I did last year.
Fair.
Because that was a good 15, 16-hour binge.
Yeah.
So I'll probably stay away from that this time around, but I am looking forward to it. That was really my first foray into the DA universe, and obviously... A lot of us haven't recovered since then, so.
Yeah, it's amazing the star, how quickly it has risen on Greg Caserta, because 1 year ago was his first entry point into the DA show family, and 1 year later, I mean, he's He's a regular. Everybody knows Caserta. Everybody knows that he stands with a perfect five oinker. Now, there has been some controversy that you have retired a little bit, like Jose Reyes leading the batting title and then pulling himself out of the game after one at bat so that he can retain the batting title.
So I did say that the last time I was here, that I did not want to do it again because I figured I'd go out a champion. But I also fully expected to get a text from Mraz yesterday telling me to hop off the bench. So I would have been ready if called upon, but Mraz didn't know I was doing updates until this morning. So that's why I never got that text.
To be fair, nobody besides Bogus knew you were doing updates until this morning.
Right.
Do we know why Bogus is out?
Maybe the Dave Matthews album release party?
Okay.
Be lined up with his PJs waiting to get it.
Okay.
But you know what? I realize why he's off. He's got days to burn.
Oh, we're into May now. we're getting to the nitty gritty.
I love that expression.
You love days to burn?
Days to burn. Every time I see it, like when it pops up in a DA show quotes tweet or something like that, I'm like, just, it's got a life of its own.
I think I'm going to do some merch about it.
I think you should too. Pete the Body. Pete's head on a t-shirt and it just says days to burn under it.
That's right.
Sounds awesome. Or it's a calendar on fire.
That's right. Well, I will say, I do not like when people leave days on the table. You have them, use them.
Right. I think the thing that's so funny about it is that you said it in March, and right, nobody's ever said they've got days to burn in March.
Yeah, well.
Greg Caserta has headlines.
All right, DA, let's shake up dinner time with HelloFresh. Shake it up.
Whoa!
With 40 weekly recipe options, there's always something new to try. Get 16 free meals plus free shipping with code SKATE16 at HelloFresh.com/skate, like hockey skate, 16. Paul Bissonnette was pissed. Wayne Gretzky offered nothing, and the Carolina Hurricanes were left feeling empty after their 4 overtime loss at home against the Panthers to start the Eastern Conference Finals. Canes head coach Rod Brindamore was exhausted like the rest of the studio crew.
Oh, you're working late on television. I'm tired.
Shut up. Sweet gig. Enjoy it. But reminded fans who had work this morning that it's just one game.
It's a tough way to lose a game, that's for sure, and go that long. A lot of ups and downs in that game. And so it's one game. You know, at the end of the day, it's one game.
Well, it was as long as 2 games, actually.
Yeah, technically. I teased Matthew Tkachuk before, playing just a 3-second snippet after his 3-2 overtime winner. Here he offers the full explanation of his second overtime goal of the playoffs and his 6th overall this postseason.
Probably my favorite one so far in my life. Big to not let it go to 5 overtimes there. You know, but so many great contributions from everybody. Like, just looking at this sheet quickly, I mean, Monty played 60 minutes almost. Barkey took like 1,000 draws. I mean, I don't know. Like, it was like, we're not even in overtime if Bob doesn't make that save on the breakaway in the third. So Bob played great. Everybody followed. Total team effort for 2 games, basically.
We'll be saying that after Bob's bar. Bob played great. We all followed Bob.
6th longest overtime game in Stanley Cup playoff history. And some great insight from our buddy Billy Giacalone in the newsroom before. The Florida Panthers won in Carolina, where the football team is also called the Panthers.
As you know, Monty, Vaughn's been working on a couple of new pitches, the Eliminator and the Humiliator, to complement his fastball, the Terminator.
I heard that.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
That's actually what Billy said this morning, and he meant it.
Wow. And yes. Florida's college football team down there in Miami is the Hurricanes.
Boom.
Wow.
Look at you just
look at that
tying it all together.
That's right. Nice big bow.
Canes and Panthers and Canes. Nobody knows who they're rooting for down there.
Wow.
Beautiful. Hoops, the Nuggets more than held serve at home, taking a 2-0 Western Conference Finals lead over LeBron and the Lakers with a 108-103 win. Jamal Murray, 23 of his game-high 37, came in the fourth, erased a small deficit with a 3 with just under 9.5 minutes left, which gave the Nuggets the lead for good. He was 6 of 14 from downtown. LeBron just 0 for 6 from downtown. The series now shifts to L.A., where the Lakers have not lost during the playoffs.
I think it's even more, you got to be on edge, because when you go home, you get in your own bed, you're around your family, everybody's being cool and you know, jolly and everything. Nah, you got to be even more on edge when you get home. So, you know, we got to understand that going back and being down 0-2. There's no reason for us to get comfortable.
So you heard from LeBron. I mentioned that Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara is the likely destination for Super Bowl 60 in 2026. It would be the first time in 10 years since Broncos-Panthers. Not that both organizations have completely bottomed out since then. Peyton Manning retired a champion. Cam Newton now has a cigar bar in Atlanta. And a recent report detailed Cam's morning routine.
Oh boy.
He has 6 shots of espresso that he sips on throughout the morning. And he also smokes a Nicaraguan cigar, which means that his breath is atrocious.
That's his breakfast?
That's how he starts the day.
Oh, well, is that good for a 35-year-old quarterback?
It's not good.
Oh, God.
But he's ready to come back, though.
He smokes a cigar every morning for breakfast? Ew.
I knew you'd like that.
What could be worse than sniffing his cigar breath at 8 a.m. Oh,
cigar and espresso breath.
Oh, man. Cam's like, I got such a good idea. You're like, oh, Cam, can you brush your teeth first?
Oh.
We're going to run the steps today. I'm watching film today.
Dude, you would need a paint roller to whiten his teeth. You know how stained they must be, too?
He comes in. He's like, what do you think about this top hat and this monocle? You're like, look, can you brush your teeth first?
Oh, hey, told me to wear a brown necktie.
Ew.
Legend.
Wow. So Tom Brady, to fend off getting older as a quarterback, eats goji berries for breakfast and like does a 30-day cleanse like every 2 months. What does Cam Newton do? He smokes a cigar every morning. That's my routine. Here's Tom Brady doing plyometrics or whatever. He's stretching. He's only drinks water.
Avocado ice cream.
And here is here's Cam Newton puffing on a giant Nicaraguan cigar every morning.
And he thinks there's not 32 quarterbacks better than him.
Yeah, I wonder why he can't get a job, because he comes into the office reeking of a cigar smoke every morning.
Were you in a lounge last night?
He looks like Kramer from the smoking lounge.
Your face looks like an old catcher's mitt.
Ooh, Cam, you stink. Were you at the clubs late? No, I just smoke a Nicaraguan cigar every morning.
He's in his car spraying for car. He's got that cheap cologne smell mixed. Ugh. Blech. Not good.
That feels like Ben Roethlisberger's training
100%.
Technique.
Blake Bortles.
Yeah, he has leftover Whataburger and then has a giant Nicaraguan cigar before he gets to the office.
Tremendous.
Okay, I think
we have time for Stunned?
Yeah, of course.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
So I always give credit to Robin the 321, but today I got one from another source, this one coming from Moose, who sent me, not Mark Malusis, but Moose 3782, who told me and informed me that Oscar Mayer's Wienermobile has a new name. They've announced that they are going to call it the Frankmobile, and it'll hit highways this summer, and will have painted lettering that references the vehicle's new name and all-beef Frank recipe. Among the slogans on the side of the now Frankmobile called Keep It Oscar and Please Do Not Lick. So, you know, keep your hands to yourself. This vehicle rebrand comes nearly 87 years after the Wienermobile's historic debut, July of 1936, in Chicago. A spokesperson for Oscar Mayer told Fox Business that the brand converted its 6-vehicle Wienermobile fleet into Frankmobiles and wants to see if the rebrand, quote, cuts the mustard with its fans. Oscar Mayer's Wienermobile drivers, formerly known as Hot Doggers, will now be known as Frankmobile Frankfooters. And I don't like any bit of this.
Well, you know what it teaches us is that apparently in the commercial space, buying an Oscar Mayer wiener is now seen as like buying a cheap hot dog. And what they need to rebrand apparently is 100% all beef Frank, because now there's just much better hot dogs on the market. And a lot of people must be going in that direction. They see their market share go down. So now they have to rebrand to Frank's. The problem is that A Frankmobile does nothing for you. Sounding like Wienermobile sounds good.
They should call it the Frank Tank.
Frank Tank's
good. That's good.
But again, it's a Wienermobile, and that's what they've been for 90 years. I don't think they should change that.
They
can be 100% all be Franks and do that whole thing. And what was the catchphrase or the slogan on the side? That's fine. But they should not change the name of the Wienermobile.
Keep it Oscar.
Yeah, that's fine.
Run commercials for that, but the Wienermobile stays the Wienermobile as it drives throughout the country.
Yep.
And there's nobody that's going to suddenly switch gears and go, oh, look, there's the Frankmobile. No. Like, everybody knows the Wienermobile. Yeah, it doesn't seem very bright.
The Frankmobile doesn't roll off the tongue the same way Wienermobile.
No. That's why you can't combine Frank and Mobile. And also, people still call them Franks?
No, nobody under the age of 92 calls them Frankfurters. Yeah.
Huh. You want some Frank and beans? Nobody does that anymore. No,
that's interesting. I feel like Pete might call them Franks.
I don't call them Franks.
It's no, hot dogs.
Everything's a hot dog. Mm-hmm. Or a wiener?
Yeah, I mean, if
you call them dongs.
A dong or a wiener if you're feeling rockets. Frisky after a couple drinks. But the overall arching, it's a hot dog. Nobody's going Frank.
I think my dad calls him Franks, but he's older.
Right, is he older? You want to come over for a couple Franks? I'll put a little mustard on. Nobody says that anymore.
Nobody says Franks.
Yeah, my dad says Franks.
Your dad.
And my grandpa say Frank.
Coincidentally, they're older. Franks.
What's that?
People named Frank say Frank because they're older.
My grandpa Frank, the one who I mentioned in the past, old Puddinhead.
Grandpa Frank calls him
Franks.
Grandpa
Frank calls him Franks. Frankfooters.
Oh, this would be a great poll. Too bad it's a Friday. Do you call them Franks or hot dogs? And how many, maybe 20% you get Franks?
We could do it. We just have to do the whole song and dance.
Okay. Why don't we do that? I'd like to know what percentage of our listeners call them Franks.
What were the Shea Stadium dogs you like, Pete?
Cons.
I love cons.
Cons. Cons hot dogs are delicious. Yeah. Were. I think they went out of business.
The sizzle of the best goals.
Sing us a song. You're the overtime ending man.
The saltiness of the best games.
Guys, we're having a good time.
Crave the nightly action of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's a hockey, you know, it's only a game. Why do you have to be mad? He's a good guy.
It's your morning serving of Canadian bacon. Only on the DA Show.
Okay, a night that went deep into the morning. Mraz has Canadian bacon.
Thank you, Damon. After two nights off, the NHL playoffs came back with more vulcanized rubber on a sheet of ice than any fan in Raleigh thought they were paying for. The game had a nice pace to start and was scoreless for the better part of the first period, as Freddie Anderson and Sergei Bobrovsky weren't having a day off like Ferris Bueller. Instead, they were stopping puck like Alan Ruck. However, with 12 seconds left in the first period, Seth Jarvis had the power. Power. Putting Carolina up 1-0 into the first intermission. In the second period, Florida became the Sex Panther as they made the Hurricanes stink. The Cats found their anchor men with goals by Alexander Barkov and Carter Verhaeghe. They, with those two goals, Florida would head to the third period clawing to a 2-1 lead. If Carolina was going to protect home ice, they were going to need to get creative. And 3 minutes into the final period, they found a way to Kern Kraft one into the net. Stefan Nation. Delivered.
Eric Staal with the long reach for the Canes. Keep it in. Tenacious. 1, 2, 3. Tic-tac-toe. We're tied on the power play. Carolina. It's Stefan Nation. A beauty with the man advantage. It's 2-2 with 16:13 left in the third.
Stefan Nation with the goal. With the game tied at 2, it would be a long time before Twine was tickled again in this game. A tense third period would have us to overtime. 2.5 minutes into the first OT, Carolina appeared to have won the game, but the goal was overturned due to goalie interference. The first overtime would end scoreless. A second overtime would end scoreless. And then a third time would end scoreless. Even the Canes PA announcer would apologize to fans after three overtimes that the game was not over. In the fourth overtime, Sergei continued to bob and weave, preventing the fans from getting to leave.
Brady Shea has it for the Carolina Hurricanes. On for Natchez, dropped off Teravainen, left circle Teravainen, to Shea, a shot, a save, Bobrovsky, rebound, oh, what a save, Sergei Bobrovsky, as Aho was knocking on the door.
The former Blue Jack Rabbit goalie Bobrovsky was standing on his head as that was one of his incredible 63 saves on the night. Finally, with time ticking in the fourth OT, it began to feel like a day of back-to-school shopping, and the Panthers would get to lace up a new pair of Kachucks.
And now Ekblad will take over the neutral zone as the Hurricanes couldn't advance it. Ekblad dumps it in down to our right. Here's Brent Burns, keeps it to the outside. Sam Bennett keeps it in out front. Kachuk is shot. He scores! He scores! Matthew Kachuk, the overtime winner! The Panthers take game one!
Matthew Kachuk, sing us a song. Sing us four songs. You are the fourth overtime ending man. This becomes the sixth longest game in NHL history. Florida won its seventh straight road game in these playoffs and improved to 5-0 in overtime. Game two is Saturday night. Saturday night. In Raleigh, less than 48 hours after these teams played more than two full games worth of hockey. That's a lot of hockey, and that's a lot of Canadian bacon.
All right, Mraz. He has done it. Gotten through Canadian bacon after a four overtime affair last night. Pete, let's hear the oinks.
It's a four oinker. Four oinker, solid grade, four oinker. Okay, what I liked about this, I thought for a big moment and a historic game, Mraz knew he had to rise to the challenge, delivered more energy, more sauce, more pop, trying to reflect the significance of the game. That was good. I really like lace up a new pair of Kachucks.
Thank
very,
you.
Very nice writing. The rest of it, well... Some of you might not have gotten the Blue Jackrabbit reference. I saw Caserta go a little cross-eyed there. We were watching a hockey game once, and my wife said, "Who's Columbus?" And I said, "You want to try to guess?" And she saw the blue and said, "Blue." I said, "Yes." And she saw the J as part of the CBJ initials and said, "Ja." And I said, "Uh-huh." And she said, "Jackrabbits?" And I said, "Yes." Columbus Blue Jackrabbit. So yeah, that's
okay.
The joke.
All right. I like that.
The Ferris Bueller line was a cheap laugh just for me and Pete because Mraz knows we love 80s movies.
And you got the rhyme that went with Ferris Bueller?
The Alan Ruck?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. I thought that was going to be a smash hit with you guys.
Stepped into the power, which I liked, a reference, but didn't have to sing it. You'll have to explain to me, though, the Steppen Nation.
Well, first of all, you're skipping the Anchorman reference.
The Anchorman was solid.
Oh, I missed that.
In the second period, Florida became the Sex Panthers. They made the Hurricanes stink.
Gotcha.
The Cats found their anchor men, and I mentioned the two goals they'd score. I mean, that is the kind of writing you guys have been begging me to give you. And I'm going to get there. What?
I thought it was good.
Okay. Now, there's a song, Zombie Nation.
I know the Zombie Nation.
And the guy's name is Stephen Nation.
Stephen Nation?
Yes.
And that's his name. Stephen?
Yes. Stephen.
And his last name's Nation.
Yes. It's not spelt like N-A-T-I, but it's pronounced Nation. So that was to tie the game. They were have to Kerncraft one into the net. They got creative. They Kerncrafted one. That's the Kerncraft 400, I think is the name of the song or the band or whatever.
Oh, Zombie Nation sings Kerncraft?
It's still confusing to this day who's the band and who's the song.
This is the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like
no, I looked this up. I saw it three different ways. Kerncraft is associated with Zombie Nation. You guys should get that. You don't get it. Not my problem.
I don't think anybody knows that song.
What?
I don't know as the name of the song. I just know it as the How it sounds.
A lot of us have, you know, that song on gym playlist where that pops up and you would see Kerncraft 400 on there. Anyway, again, kids out there in Indianapolis got that. But then I gave the Stefan Nation.
The only thing is in Zombie Nation and the do they say Zombie Nation?
Zombie.
In it?
Zombie.
They don't.
Zombie Nation.
They say that?
They don't.
Guys, I hear the song almost every other day. It's big on my gym playlist.
If you were to ask me what is, I would say that's Zombie Nation. But if I were to sing it, I would not be like Zombie.
It's Zombie. That's basically Nation. The only words ever in the song. Zombie. Zombie. Zombie Nation.
If you
that's
gave me
why
a 50-50 Stephen. Shot that they said Zombie Nation in the song, I would have said, no, they didn't, and I would have lost.
Right.
Okay, that's fine that you three didn't get that. Mm. That happened in the song, so I should not be deducted points for that.
And I didn't deduct you anything. I just think you're a little too cerebral for me. I think that's the problem.
Caserta, did you think that was worthy of a 4-0 anchor
yeah,
or more?
Four was perfect. What I liked about it was the energy was really good. Mm-hmm. And it just kept carrying to that crescendo.
Yeah.
And when Mraz goes high-pitched like that, I like that for anything. So with this, it was very well done.
Okay. Petey?
I would have liked to have seen that movie theme he was going with continue. Because a theme throughout the whole thing would have been a nice change in terms of, you know, he had a good start. With
so you like the Anchorman?
I like that whole thing in the beginning.
The Ferris Bueller, the Anchorman.
We get on a movie kick. Mm-hmm. I thought we'd do a little more with the movies.
Okay,
that's one thing I was disappointed with.
Okay,
I thought just the song was. Well, first we do this all the time when we play instrumentals. You always start late. on the lyrics.
No, I'm letting it kick in a little bit because
you're hitting the post.
Hold on,
no.
Now I'm not going to stand for this now.
All right, whatever.
He just got done saying he didn't know if they even sang the word. None of you knew that. So now you know that I started late.
No, but
oh, which is it?
I'm done.
I'm just going to tell you guys. I appreciate the 4 grade. I'm grading myself as a 5 on this, so anybody scoring at home,
I
got a 5-oinker.
No.
This was, pound for pound, my best script in terms of telling the story of an epic game while mixing in plenty of funny, really creative written lines and a classic song we should all know and all sing along and bob along to. So just so you know, if you're driving at home, you can elect to choose to listen to Pete's score. I'm telling you, I got a 5.
So we're supposed to know all the songs on your gym playlist? Is that the...
Guys, right? I didn't pick... This obscure, I mean, this was a major stadium anthem for years.
Do you feel this was your greatest Canadian bacon ever?
Yes, I do. Writing-wise, yes, I do. Well, and I think it matched the energy, and I think the game did as well. And I think that this is a classic case of you three either just not getting references, not my problem. Plenty of people did. Everything you've asked me to do, cleaner, tighter. Oh, that was funny when I dropped the Anchorman. The rhyme stuff I threw in there that people love with Boyle. I've given you everything now in this one that you guys have been begging for, and you still found a way to grade me down. If Pat Boyle reads the same script with the same bravado, he gets a 5. I'm telling everybody, hey, Twin Falls, Idaho, just know I got a 5.
Well, I find it interesting that we have gone over this exercise so many times, and you have said recently, I'm just going to do it my way. I don't care what you guys want. Mm. I'm not formatting this to what you want. I'm doing it my way. And now you're lashing out because you did it, in your estimation, the way that we wanted.
No. I'm lashing.
He got a 4 and he's upset.
But why can't it be both? Because I'm lashing out because I had good momentum. We were off for 2 days and I read the script and I was like, this is it. I feel really confident in this. These are the perfect lines. These guys are going to also love them. And it's everything they've asked while also doing it my way. I did it my way by also giving you really good detailed stuff about the hockey itself. This literally checked every single box of what Canadian bacon should be. And it still wasn't good enough for you people. So you know what? Enjoy your weekend.
You know what part of your problem is? Is that
part of my problem?
You're going through an identity crisis.
You dopey Dave Matthews. What's part of my problem?
You're going through an identity crisis where you don't know who you are.
Identity crisis? You dressed like a 13-year-old boy today.
I look great. You don't like my brown shorts, but I've been told I look great in them.
You look like a kid that should get hit in the face with a kickball at rec today.
Well,
instead,
you're
doing updates nationally, you clown.
Let me just pose this to the listeners.
Do you agree with Mraz that that was his best Canadian bacon ever? And if we get the majority of respondents that say yes, that was his greatest Canadian bacon, then I was wrong. I was wrong. I didn't feel like it was your greatest bacon ever, but if...
You've already polluted the pool, though.
No, they would totally come to your defense if they felt
you like... You don't understand. It's a fun game for the listeners to root against Mraz and Canadian bacon. It is now pushing a rock uphill with these people that they want boil and want boil. They're not going to say yes. They're going to side with you guys.
There's plenty of people that love you, that want you to get higher grades, and I think there's plenty of people that are unbiased here. Do you think that was Mraz's greatest Canadian bacon ever? That's what he is... That's what he's suggesting. And if you guys say that, maybe I was wrong on this. I thought, you know, I thought 4.25 was fair. I did not think
stopping it, puck like Alan Ruck. If you're not getting it anywhere else.
If they say that, I'm done doing the winks.
Wow.
You're not going to listen to the audience.
No. Then that means I'm wrong with how I do this. So if they...
The sizzle of the best goals.
Sing us a song. You're the overtime ending man.
The saltiness of the best games.
Guys, we're having a good time.
We crave the nightly action of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's a hockey, you know. It's only a game. Why do you have to be mad? He's a good guy.
It's your morning serving of Canadian bacon. Only on the DA Show.
Okay, a night that went deep into the morning. Mraz has Canadian bacon.
Thank you, Damon. After two nights off, the NHL playoffs came back with more vulcanized rubber on a sheet of ice than any fan in Raleigh thought they were paying for. The game had a nice pace to start and was scoreless for the better part of the first period, as Freddie Anderson and Sergei Bobrovsky weren't having a day off like Ferris Bueller. Instead, they were stopping puck like Alan Ruck. However, with 12 seconds left in the first period, Seth Jarvis had the power. Power. Bum, putting Carolina up 1-0 into the first intermission. In the second period, Florida became the Sex Panther as they made the Hurricanes stink. The Cats found their anchor men with goals by Alexander Barkov and Carter Verhaeghe. They, with those two goals, Florida would head to the third period clawing to a 2-1 lead. If Carolina was going to protect home ice, they were going to need to get creative. And 3 minutes into the final period, they found a way to Kern Kraft one into the net. Stefan Nation. Delivered.
Eric Staal with a long reach for the Canes. Keep it in. Tenacious. 1-2-3. Tic-tac-toe. We're tied on the power play. Carolina. It's Stefan Nation. A beauty with the man advantage. It's 2-2 with 16:13 left in the third.
Stefan Nation with the goal. With the game tied at 2, it would be a long time before Twine was tickled again in this game. A tense third period would have us to overtime. 2.5 minutes into the first OT, Carolina appeared to have won the game, but the goal was overturned due to goalie interference. The first overtime would end scoreless. A second overtime would end scoreless. And then a overtime would end scoreless. Even the Canes PA announcer would apologize to fans after 3 overtimes that the game was not over. In the fourth overtime, Sergei continued to bob and weave, preventing the fans from getting to leave.
Brady Shea has it for the Carolina Hurricanes. On for Natchez, dropped off Teravainen, left circle Teravainen, to Shea, a shot, a save, Bobrovsky, rebound! Oh, what a save! Sergei Bobrovsky, as Aho was knocking on the door!
The former Blue Jack Rabbit goalie Bobrovsky was standing on his head as that was one of his incredible 63 saves on the night. Finally, with time ticking in the fourth OT, it began to feel like a day of back-to-school shopping, and the Panthers would get to lace up a new pair of Kachucks.
And now Ekblad will take over the neutral zone as the Hurricanes couldn't advance it. Ekblad dumps it in down to our right. Here's Brent Burns. Keeps it to the outside. Sam Bennett keeps it in out front. Tkachuk is shot. He scores! He scores! Matthew Tkachuk, the overtime winner! The Panthers take game one!
Matthew Tkachuk, sing us a song. Sing us four songs. You're the fourth overtime ending man. This becomes the sixth longest game in NHL history. Florida won its seventh straight road game in these playoffs and improved to 5-0 in overtime. Game two is Saturday night. Saturday night. In Raleigh, less than 48 hours after these teams played more than two full games worth of hockey. That's a lot of hockey, and that's a lot of Canadian bacon.
All right, Mraz. He has done it. Gotten through Canadian bacon after a four overtime affair last night. Pete, let's hear the oinks. It's a four oinker. Four oinker. Solid grade. Four oinker. Okay, what I liked about this, I thought for a big moment and a historic game, Mraz knew he had to rise to the challenge, delivered more energy, more sauce, more pop, trying to reflect the significance of the game. That was good. I really like lace up a new pair of Tkachuks.
Thank
you. Very nice writing. The rest of it, well... Some of you might not have gotten the Blue Jackrabbit reference. I saw Caserta go a little cross-eyed there. We were watching a hockey game once, and my wife said, "Who's Columbus?" And I said, "You want to try to guess?" And she saw the blue and said, "Blue." I said, "Yes." And she saw the J as part of the CBJ initials and said, And I said, "Uh-huh." And she said, "Jackrabbits?" And I said, "Yes." Columbus Blue Jackrabbit. So that's
okay.
The joke.
All right, I like that.
The Ferris Bueller line was a cheap laugh just for me and Pete because Mraz knows we love 80s movies.
And you got the rhyme that went with Ferris Bueller?
The Alan Ruck?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. I thought that was going to be a smash hit with you guys.
Stepped into the power, which I liked, a reference, but didn't have to sing it. You'll have to explain to me, though, the Steffen Nation.
Well, first of all, you're skipping the Anchorman reference.
The Anchorman was solid.
Oh, I missed that.
In the second period, Florida became the Sex Panthers. They made the Hurricanes stink.
Gotcha.
The Cats found their anchor men, and I mentioned the two goals they'd score. I mean, that is the kind of writing you guys have been begging me to give you. And I'm going to get there. What?
I thought it was good.
Okay. Now, there's a song, Zombie Nation.
I know the Zombie Nation.
And the guy's name is Steffen Nation.
Steffen Nation?
Yes.
And that's his name. Steffen?
Yes. Steffen.
And his last name's Nation.
Yes. It's not spelt like N-A-T-I, but it's pronounced Nation. So that was to tie the game. They were have to Kerncraft one into the net. They got creative. They Kerncrafted one. That's the Kerncraft 400, I think is the name of the song or the band or whatever.
Oh, Zombie Nation sings Kerncraft?
It's still confusing to this day who's the band and who's the song.
This is the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like
no, I looked this up. I saw it three different ways. Kerncraft is associated with Zombie Nation. You guys should get that. You don't get it. Not my problem.
I don't think anybody knows that song.
What?
I don't know as the name of the song. I just know it as the... how it sounds.
A lot of us have, you know, that song on gym playlists where that pops up and you would see Kerncraft 400 on there. Anyway, again, kids out there in Indianapolis got that. But then I gave the Steffen Nation.
The only thing is in Zombie Nation and the do they say Zombie Nation?
Zombie.
In it?
Zombie.
Don't.
Zombie Nation.
They say that?
Guys, I hear the song almost every other day. It's big on my gym playlist.
If you were to ask me what is, I would say that's Zombie Nation. But if I were to sing it, I would not be like Zombie.
It's Zombie. That's basically the only words ever in the song. Zombie. Zombie. Zombie Nation.
If you gave me a 50-50 shot that they said Zombie Nation in the song, I would have said no, they didn't, and I would have lost.
Right.
Okay, that's fine that you three didn't get that.
That happened in the song, so I should not be deducted points for that.
And I didn't deduct you anything. I just think you're a little too cerebral for me. I think that's the problem.
Caserta, did you think that was worthy of a 4-0 anchor
yeah,
or more?
Four was perfect.
Four was perfect.
Four was perfect. What I liked about it was the energy was really good, and it just kept carrying to that crescendo.
Yeah.
And when Mraz goes high-pitched like that, I like that for anything. So with this, it was very well done.
Okay. Petey?
I would have liked to have seen that movie theme he was going with continue. Because a theme throughout the whole thing would have been a nice change in terms of, you know, he had a good start. With
so you like the Anchorman
I like
twist.
That whole thing in the beginning.
The Ferris Bueller, yeah, the Anchorman.
We get on a movie kick. Mm-hmm. I thought we'd do a little more with the movies.
Okay.
That's one thing I was disappointed with.
Okay.
I thought just the song was, well, first, we do this all the time when we play instrumentals. You always start late on the lyrics.
No, I'm letting it kick in a little bit because
you're hitting the post.
Hold on,
no.
Now I'm not going to stand for this now.
All right, whatever.
He just got done saying he didn't know if they even sang the word. None of you knew that. So now you know that I started late.
No, but
oh, which is it?
I'm done.
I'm just going to tell you guys, I appreciate the 4 grade. I'm grading myself as a 5 on this. So anybody scoring at home,
I
got a 5-oinker.
No.
This was, pound for pound, my best script in terms of telling the story of an epic game while mixing in plenty of funny, really creative written lines and a classic song we should all know and all sing along and bob along to. So just so you know, if you're driving at home, you can elect to choose to listen to Pete's score. I'm telling you, I got a 5.
So we're supposed to know all the songs on your gym playlist? Is that the...
Guys, right? I didn't pick this obscure... I mean, this was a major stadium anthem for years.
Do you feel this was your greatest Canadian bacon ever?
Yes, I do. Writing-wise, yes, I do. Well, and I think it matched the energy, and I think the game did as well. And I think that this is a classic case of you three either just not getting references, not my problem. Plenty of people did. Everything you've asked me to do, cleaner, tighter. Oh, that was funny when I dropped the Anchorman. The rhyme stuff I threw in there that people love with Boyle. I've given you everything now in this one that you guys have been begging for, and you still found a way to grade me down. If Pat Boyle reads the same script with the same bravado, he gets a 5. I'm telling everybody, hey, Twin Falls, Idaho, just know I got a 5.
Well, I find it interesting that we have gone over this exercise so many times, and you have said recently, I'm just going to do it my way. I don't care what you guys want. Mm. I'm not formatting this to what you want. I'm doing it my way. And now you're lashing out because you did it, in your estimation, the way that we wanted.
No. I'm lashing.
He got a 4 and he's upset.
But why can't it be both? Because I'm lashing out because I had good momentum. We were off for 2 days and I read the script and I was like, this is it. I feel really confident in this. These are the perfect lines. These guys are going to also love them. And it's everything they've asked while also doing it my way. I did it my way by also giving you really good detailed stuff about the hockey itself. This literally checked every single box of what Canadian bacon should be. And it still wasn't good enough for you people. So you know what? Enjoy your weekend.
You know what part of your problem is? Is that
part of my problem?
You're going through an identity crisis.
You dopey Dave Matthews. What's part of my problem?
You're going through an identity crisis where you don't know who you are.
Identity crisis? You're dressed like a 13-year-old boy today.
I look great. You don't like my brown shorts, but I've been told I look great in them.
You look like a kid that should get hit in the face with a kickball at rec today.
Well,
instead
you're
doing updates nationally, you clown.
Let me just pose this to the listeners. Do you agree with Mraz that that was his best Canadian bacon ever? And if we get the majority of respondents that say, yes, that was his greatest Canadian bacon, then I was wrong. I didn't feel like it was your greatest bacon ever, but if...
You've already polluted the pool, though.
No, they would totally come to your defense if they felt
you
like...
You don't understand. It's a fun game for the listeners to root against Mraz and Canadian bacon. It is now pushing a rock uphill with these people that they want Boyle and want Boyle. They're not going to say yes. They're going to side with you guys.
There's plenty of people that love you, that want you to get higher grades, and I think there's plenty of people that are unbiased here. Do you think that was Mraz's greatest Canadian bacon ever? That's what he's suggesting. And if you guys say that, maybe I was wrong on this. I thought 4.25 was fair. I did not think
stopping puck like Alan Ruck.
You're not getting it anywhere else.
If they say that, I'm done doing the winks.
Wow.
You're not going to listen to the audience.
No. Then that means I'm wrong with how I do this. So if the listeners say that, we're going to listen to our audience.
Hold on.
If the listeners say that, someone else can do the oinks.
Hold on. I don't like this attitude from Pete.
No.
Because I think Pete does a really good job with the oinks, and I think that you've been very fair all year. No, let me compliment you.
No.
I think you've been fair all year. I'm being complimentary.
No,
you've been
not.
Fair all year. What I'm telling you is we are all wrong at times. I'm wrong a lot. Okay? Before I said I had an aortic valve in my neck that's in the heart. I will stand here and admit when I'm wrong. DA is wrong a lot. So what? If you know how hard it must be for you to grade these oinks and hear this nonsense every day? You could be wrong for a day.
From you.
It's okay to step up and go, maybe I did get that wrong. Why can't everybody else admit they're wrong?
Yeah, because you've become completely incorrigible with this. And I'm getting tired of doing it. So here's what's going to happen. Our great listeners out there, if they think that was a 5, then we are going to pass on the oinks to somebody else.
Wow. That sounds like threatening the audience.
No, that's not threatening the audience. And don't say that, and you've become completely incorrigible with everything you've doing here. So that's what's going to happen. If the audience believes that that was a complete 5, I will give up the oinks to somebody else.
Okay, and you know what? If the audience doesn't agree, then I'm giving up Canadian Bacon and Robin a 3-2-1 to do it every day for the next 3 weeks. So that's why I'm going to threaten the audience, too.
Not threatening the audience. I'm giving them another option, another thing that we could do as part of Canadian Bacon. That's all I'm saying.
Steven in South Carolina with a low blow. If Mraz wanted a 5 winker, he should have just asked Caserta to do it.
It's a Friday fiesta. Here's what our listeners in the Target demo are up to.
Mayo is in Tacoma on Odyssey. Come on, Wiener, the only acceptable name for a hot dog. No one is calling it Frank's anymore. Hashtag unpipe it.
Unpipe it!
Lee is listening on Twitch in Baltimore, had surgery for my torn Achilles, and was feeling a bit down, but hearing you guys in the morning brings my spirits up, helps take my mind off, and appreciate you guys. Hashtag, can I get a Bebo?
She's house it. She's soaking wet. Shake it like a soul shaker. Stop on the beach, shorty.
AJ is also listening on Odyssey in Baltimore. Fan-on-fan crime is uncalled for, but you got to ban Zach Hample. I'm throwing a free community event this Saturday at Eager Park in Baltimore to celebrate Clinical Trials Days. D-Aliens are welcome. Oriole Bird will be there. Hashtag Target Demo Friday.
Can you look at yourself in the mirror?
Robert is listening in Pontiac, Michigan, WTRX 1330. It's Coney Dogs in these parts. Target Demo Friday.
The mothership disconnects.
Moose is in Wisco. Catch the podcast later on. Starting the day off by busting out the waffle maker. I've never called a hot dog a Frank in my life. Hashtag, you need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Well, I was just a baby.
Incognito Man says, happy Friday, listening on Sirius XM from Southern Wisconsin. Frank is okay for a hot dog, I think. I'm okay with Pete the Body controlling the soundboard as well. Hashtag, Morty D'Souza. Hashtag, Goose.
Tonight, everything tonight.
Goose.
Everything tonight.
Good.
And what you know, and tomorrow, tonight.
Big Lau is listening in Twin Falls, Idaho on Twitch. No one should say Frank's. Thanks to Mraz, great bacon. Thanks for the shout out. My daughter loves it when he says, little kid listening in. She said, Dad, he did say that to me today. Thanks for doing that. Hashtag power, power. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Wow, that's not going to help us here.
Ha!
Giant has awoken in Boise on Odyssey. Simply put, hot dog and or Frank. Completely acceptable. Not acceptable, dung to the face. Hashtag get a taste.
Derek, get a taste.
Derek in Pittsburgh, listening on Apple Music. I got a fishing tournament this weekend. Gonna eat a few Franks over a campfire. Hopefully I can make it to Bob's Bar this year. Have a good weekend. Hashtag yeah.
On my face!
And Steven in South Carolina is watching on YouTube in Myrtle Beach.
Frank is not okay. It's only supposed to be called a hot dog.
Yeah.
All right, what do we decide on your epic fail this morning?
It's me fighting with Pete and Caserta over my oinks.
That was a good one.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I do this all the time when we play instrumentals. You always start late on the lyrics.
No, I'm letting it kick in a little bit because it's
you're hitting the post.
Hold on. No.
Now,
I'm not going to stand for this now.
All right, whatever.
He just got done saying he didn't know if they even sang the word. None of you knew the. Stefan Nation. So now you know that I started late.
No, but
oh, which is it?
I'm done.
I'm just going to tell you guys, I appreciate the 4 grade. I'm grading myself as a 5 on this. So anybody scoring at home,
I got
a 5 winker. No. And the Panthers would get to lace up a new pair of Kachucks. So just so you know, if you're driving at home, you can elect to choose to listen to Pete's score. I'm telling you, I got a 5.
So we're supposed to know all the songs on your gym playlist. Is that the...
Guys, right? I didn't pick this obscure song. I mean, this was a major stadium anthem for years.
Now you're lashing out because you did it, in your estimation, the way that we want.
No. Stefan Nation. This literally checked every single box of what Canadian bacon should be, and it still wasn't good enough for you people. So you know what?
Let's get lit!
Enjoy your weekend.
You know what part of your problem is? Is that
part of my problem?
You're going through an identity crisis.
You dopey Dave Matthews. What's part of my problem?
You're going through an identity crisis where you don't know who
identity
you
crisis.
Are.
You're dressed like a 13-year-old boy today.
I look great. You don't like my brown shorts, but I've been told I look great in them.
You look like a kid that should get hit in the face with a kickball at rec today.
Well,
instead
you're
doing updates nationally, you clown.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail. It
got so ugly. So ugly. Lukewarm Churro is listening in Boise on 95.3. Going to be celebrating all of the family's graduations this weekend while watching the playoffs. Frank is acceptable for hot dog.
Food is family.
Monty says, you know when you have that drunk friend who tells the same tired-ass stories over and over and over? That's what Mraz's bacon singing clips have started to become. We don't need to hear them for 90 seconds on loop. I mean, come on. Hashtag Target Demo Friday. Ouch. Soggy Fruit Loops, for as much as you guys trash Mraz for his bacons, you do use a lot of his drops and phrases. How many drops does Boyle have? Don't get me wrong, but are his bacons memorable? Hashtag true king of oinks.
Oh!
And Dan in Mechanicsburg says, happy Friday, eh? Caught the first hour 96.5 here. Rest on Amazon Music later. You can call it a glizzy, which I never heard until I heard Mraz say it. You can call it Frank. And my jerseys are lined up ready to go for Bob's Bar. And I don't want to miss a thing.
And I don't want to miss.
All right, thanks to Sean Mraz, Pete the Body Bilotti, Andrew Kaplan, and Greg Caserta this morning. Be good and be good to one another. We will see you on Monday. The Mothership disconnects.